I love to go out in the hot tub and sit in the hot tub and just see all the stars. Something about the winter sky where the stars are like just incredible. And I live far enough out of town that I don't got all the light pollution from Missoula, you know, and you can see the Milky Way and all the satellites that are zipping by, and you know, and I've even got a couple apps on my phone where I get out and I'll like try to figure out where the stars are and try to figure out, you know, okay, there's the Great Bear, there's the Hunter, you know, and try to figure it all out. And then for some reason, I can never memorize them. I can never get them back in my head. And, you know, it's just kind of, I love watching the stars. And what's really cool is you almost every night I'll see a shooting star, you know, when it's clear. And so it's just an awesome thing. But think about what's happening here. These guys from the east, probably from Babylon area, are literally looking at the stars and go, the Messiah is being born. How in the world? I mean, I look at the stars and I can't even remember their names. You know what I mean? And here's these guys that are studying this stuff, and it's like, this is what it is. God has revealed to us that the Messiah is coming, the King of the Jews. So much so that they get in this caravan or whatever it is, and they travel all the way there. I mean, that takes a little bit of faith, doesn't it? I don't know about you guys, but when you look up in the stars, how many times have you gone, oh, there it is? Anybody here? If there is, I need to talk to you. Because, I mean, it's this crazy mystery when we look at the stars and the universe and all this stuff, and we look at it now, you know, and we look at it in kind of view of science, and we think about how everything's put together out there and just the massive distance between all of it. But there's somehow or another, there's this mystery in it. And I've heard people talk about, you know, well, this is, you know, the time period when, you know, Jupiter and Mars were lined up, and so it did certain things, or actually, you know, it was the perfect rotation of yeah. Even so, I mean, seriously, if any of that is true, and who knows, because we weren't there, and it's really difficult to go back and go, well, it was, you know, this comet that came through, and seriously, though, would you be able to look at the stars and go, oh, the Messiah is being born? You know what I mean? It's just, there's something about that that just absolutely blows my mind. How many times have you gone to the refrigerator going, ah, oh, man, I need that bottle of whatever? And you open up the refrigerator and it's like, dude, where's it at? The kids take it? You know, hey, Sasha, do you know where this stuff is at? And it's like sitting in front of you the whole time. Any of you ever had that experience? All right. I mean, come on. Sometimes the thing we're looking for is like literally right there. And for some reason, we can't even see it. Because in our mindset, we've kind of got this idea of what it's supposed to look like or where it's supposed to be, and it's not quite, but yet it's staring at us right in front of us. I mean, it's one thing to be looking for something and not being able to see it. It's another not to even know what you're looking for and to see it. To be able to put this together and be able to look at all this stuff, to me, is absolutely amazing. I want you to turn over with me, if you will, to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Here's these verses here in Romans chapter 1 that deals with early man. And here's this passage that is pretty fascinating, to be honest. And it starts down here in verse 18. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without an excuse. The creation around us is a testimony to God's awesomeness, His power, His wonder, the fact that He exists. To be able to really look at nature and begin to understand that there's stuff in nature that is so organized and so structured, and yet we have this mindset to go, well, it just happened by chance. But yet, the way things function is so far beyond anything that we've ever been able to create. It's crazy. So God makes Himself evident to all mankind just because of the universe around us, everything that He's created. But even so, to get to that place of looking for what God would have for you, to get to that place that I have to ask you, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Because if you think about it, and you go through this section here of talking about these scriptures and looking at all the stuff that comes together, for these guys to look at the stars, they're not Jews. They don't have the Old Testament that they're going through the Old Testament and going, hey, you know, here it is, and we have this anticipation about the Messiah. That's a whole other people group. They probably had some idea, because if it's coming out of the east, they're probably coming somewhere out of that Babylon area, which, you know, a bunch of Jews were exiled in that area, and so maybe there's some kind of connection through all that. We don't know. All we know is that there's these guys that are studying the stars, and somehow or another, they figure out they're looking for something incredible to happen. And God reveals it to them. I think God reveals things to us when we're truly seeking Him. Why don't you turn over to Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 11. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He is the rewarder of those that earnestly seek Him. I'm sorry, sometimes you know how it works. My words are difficult. Why did God call me to be a preacher? Here I am. So, to seek Him. It's impossible to please God without faith. I think a lot of times we read that and we stop on that part of it. But I love the rest of it, to be honest. Because you must believe that He exists, which we go, okay, that's part of faith. But that He's a rewarder of those that eagerly seek Him. The idea that we have to be in a place where we long for what God is doing and who He is. That we want to understand. See, when we talk about what are you looking for, there's a reality that a lot of us are going to the refrigerator, and we're looking for that item, and it's sitting right in front of us, but it's in a different container than what we anticipate. We want joy, we want peace, we want satisfaction, we want success, we want all these different things in our life. And so we're seeking those different things, but often what we don't realize is really the answer and the fulfillment of all those things come through a relationship with God, our Creator, that can only happen through Jesus Christ. And so we miss the packaging. And so there's a place that we begin to realize that, wait a minute, to really, really fall into a place where we honor God is when we begin to get to a place in our heart where we long for Him, knowing that He will satisfy, that He is a rewarder to those who seek Him. See, a lot of times when we think about God, we may have this idea that, you know, there he is. We just read this passage about how wrath is being revealed. And so, you know, God is like this, maybe he's okay, maybe he's not. I'm not too sure if he's really stern or if he's really loving, or I don't know really how to put God or imagine him. Maybe he's kind of like my dad, who was like, you know, a little aloof and yet, you know, loved me, and I knew he loved me, but yet he was stern. And so we get all these crazy ideas in our head of who God is. And we got to get to a place to realize he's a rewarder of those that seek him. See, that's where it changes for me. Because to me, that's actually the faith part of it. Believing that he exists is, to me, is really easy, man. Like I say, we just talked about creation. I love being out in the woods. It is one of my happy places. It's when you get up on a mountainside and you look down and you see the valleys and the flow of everything and the ridge mountains, and you know, and you hear, especially when you hear an elk bugle, that's just perfect. But you know, or you're down on the river and the eagles fly by, or it's just, it, to be honest, it can be how the frost develops on a stick of grass. There's just majesty in it all to me. It speaks to me. It may not speak to you, but there's other things that do. Relationships or times of study or wherever, where God begins to speak to you and you're drawn into that presence and you go, man, there is a God and it's awesome. That part of faith is not hard for me. The one I got to keep remembering is that he is a rewarder of those that eagerly seek him. He wants me to succeed. His first tendency towards me is love and mercy. But the reality is that if I put all my cares, all my wishes, put all those things, all my burdens, lay them at his feet, he's got it. And he'll take care of it. Because as soon as I begin to start to do that, and mentally it's like, I know this, and I got to do it. He's done it before. And so I began to lay it out there. As soon as I begin to lay it out there, I go, but I should probably work on that one. You know? It's like, I know God's got this, and the finances will be okay. He's always provided for me in the past. He's Jehovah. He provides, and but ooh, maybe I ought to do this and that to make it happen. And I don't totally, truly, fully rest in the fact that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. These guys, not only were able to look at the stars and have enough faith to be able to go, the Messiah is coming, let's travel to a foreign country to go worship him. I mean, you imagine relatives, you imagine people. You say, what? You're in the hot tub and you saw what? No, they probably weren't in a hot tub, but you know what I'm saying. You know, there'd be some people going, you guys got way too much time on your hands. You know, you're traveling to where? Okay, and you've seen it in the stars? Great. All right, makes sense. We call you wise men? Why is that again? No, you know what I mean? It's a bizarre story. Here they come, seeking him. And as they're going along, the reality is how far will you go? How far will you go to get what you're seeking? Are you willing to love God and accept God? And it's like, I believe he's the God and he's the creator, but I don't know if I'm willing to truly trust him that he is the rewarder of those that seek him. How far are you really willing to go to really put your faith out on the line for him? These guys went a long ways, probably jeopardizing even their credentials as far as who they are and what they're doing. And And here they show up. Turn over here to Hebrews. I'm sorry, not Hebrews, but Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, looking up here at verse 44. It's a little parable that Jesus tells. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had to buy it. Is that the kingdom of heaven for you? How far will you go? Is that the kingdom of heaven? Is it one of those things where it's like, man, here it is. Jesus is the answer. He's the one. God's got me. I'm going to hold on to whatever He has for me. Regardless of what my friends do, regardless of what my family does, regardless of what the church does. Yeah, I said that. Regardless of what the church does, of how you're hurt, or the way that people should have acted, the way Christians should have treated you differently. No, we're all sinners and we all mess up. If you think that I got it all together, somewhere along the line, I will probably hurt you too. That is not my heart. That is not my intention. It would tear me up to do that. But here's the reality. We're flawed people. The church is not the kingdom. I'm not the kingdom. Well, somebody don't throw rocks at me. In some ways, the church is the kingdom. What I'm getting at is this. Are you willing to give up everything? To cling to that one truth of who Jesus is and what He's done for you and what God longs to do in your life. To be able to hold on to that fact that He loves you and He cares for you. To be able to realize that this is what we've been seeking and He's got the answers. And everything else is going to leave us dry. To be able to come and truly sell everything we have. To sell everything that we have. These guys went a long ways to be able to get what they were looking for. But what's funny about their story is they see the star and they go, wow, the Messiah's coming. They load up all their stuff. They take this long journey to get there. And when they get there, they go to Herod's temple and it's like, okay, you know, where's he at? Because he's royalty, right? So they show up on the place with kind of a misunderstanding. An assumption of being able to look at part of our life and go, if I'm really seeking the kingdom, if I'm really seeking Jesus, if I'm really seeking what He would have for me, if I'm really earnestly seeking Him and believing that He is a rewarder of those that seek Him, if all those things are true in my life, then in all honesty, what misconceptions do I need to deal with? What areas of my life do I need to be able to hold on to and go, all right, I accepted Jesus Christ and my life isn't perfect. Where's God? I accepted Jesus Christ and I'm walking with Him and everything hasn't worked out the way I figured it was going to work out now, right? Because there's still bad things that happen to me. Still bad things that happen to those around me. And sometimes we get really angry at God because it hasn't worked out the way that we planned it or thought that it was going to work out. Are we willing to actually deal with some of those misconceptions? To come back to that place of truly holding on to what it is that God has called us to? I want to look at another scripture here in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. This is Paul's prayer. This is a great prayer. I pray that out of his gracious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit, through his Spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the full of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You notice what his prayer is? His prayer is totally focused around the fact that we would grasp God's love in our life. That if we could grasp God's love in our life, then that in the midst of that is this power that comes that is just unbelievable, that does more than what we could imagine. To be able to grasp how high, how wide, we get that part, but to even go in deeper, this knowledge of this love that surpasses all understanding. A lot of times when we're seeking something, we don't fully know what we grasped. These guys, it blows my mind. Because they had this misconception, because they go looking for Jesus and they go to Herod's and there they are, they're, you know, this is royalty. The king ought to be here. What's wild to me about it is they realized the king was born from the stars, that there was going to be this king and all these things coming in. But somehow or another, they really missed what often we grasp, that Jesus showed up incredibly humble in a totally different light. And he showed up in a way that would express so much grace and mercy and love to us. He did not show up as a child of privilege. He knows our pains. He knows our sorrows. He knows our heartaches. To understand his love, that's Paul's prayer. If we were to be able to grasp God's love, love for us, love for others, if we could begin to live in that love and that power of that love, I think we could turn the world upside down. I really do. And I'm not just saying that as a cute little cliche or whatever. I honestly believe we could. Because you see, that's how Christ showed up. And his love and who he was and how he cared for people. We read through scriptures and we see how people were just drawn towards him. We read through scriptures and we go, well, yeah, he was able to gather a big crowd because he taught differently. He didn't just gather a big crowd. Sinners, people that were shunned by society, would come and fall at his feet weeping and ask for forgiveness and love Jesus. If the church could love like Christ, wouldn't that be awesome if folks that didn't know him came in and were like, man, forgive me. forgive me of all the stuff that I've done. And want to be around us, want to be in the midst of our lives because of our love. You see what I'm saying? I honestly think if we could grasp God's love in our life, I think we could turn the world upside down. Which tells me, because we're not turning the world upside down, tells me this. We haven't got there yet. There's a lot more for us to be seeking. There's a lot more for us to be grasping and holding on to. There's a lot more misconceptions that we need to deal with and throw out to the side. And go, wait a minute. How come my life isn't being penetrated the way that Paul would pray for me right here? If you were able to find what you're looking for, if you were able to find what you were looking for, then the last question I'd have for you is, what gift would you bring it? See, when the Magi show up and they bring these gifts, and it's they're beautiful gifts, the myrrh, frankincense, and all this stuff, and in many ways it talks about who Jesus is and the sacrifice that he's going to the offer, and it's a foreshadowing of so many different things. But this is what Romans says. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The Magi fall before Jesus and they worship him and they present these gifts, because they found something in the stars. I think for a lot of us, we've found something too. We've found this Savior, Jesus Christ. And I would venture to say that for a lot of us, we weren't even looking. Which speaks to me in greater volumes about how much God really, really loves us. And yet I would say this, in the midst of all these things that we are searching for and looking for in this life, in this place where we long for peace or connection or whatever it is that's missing in your life, and we're longing for those things and we keep seeking for it, the answer is still right there in front of us. Is still answered through Jesus Christ. And if we would just surrender to that and allow him to work in our life, that to a place that our life would truly be an offering to him. How we live it, how we speak, the time we spend with others, that the words that come out of our mouth would be ones that are driven by him. This would be our worship. That would be our gift. That would be the ultimate. So this season, when we get closer to Christmas, as the trees are decorated and we buy the presents and we put them underneath there, I want you to think every time this season, as you think about presents, and the hassle of getting presents or finding the right presents or the joy of giving presents away or whatever it is. Whenever you think about presents, I want you to think about this. That how you live your life and how you and what you seek, that's your present to him. That's your present to him. To be able to surrender in a way that you would continue to just lay it before the cross. And go, God, am I pleasing to you? Am I walking in a way that honors you? It doesn't have to do with his love, because he loves you totally and completely. When you mess up, he doesn't sit there and go, oh, I'm going to pull back some of my love. That's not it at all. He cares so deeply for us. He's not offended by us. He longs for us to lay before Him and just allow Him to work in our life. Father God, we just come before You right now. Lord, this season there's so many different things going on, so many different distractions, so many pressures, so many things that are put on our plate. And Father, in the midst of the busyness and the chaos, we tend to run around and you become second thought and not first priority. Father, I ask that You'd help all of us to change that perspective in our life. That You would always be first priority. That to seek after You with all of our strength, with all of our might, with all of our heart, that Father, that we would long for You to fill our lives, that we would walk in a way that brings You glory. And what I mean by bringing You glory is, Father, that others would see and sense Your love and mercy through us. Lord, we know that there are those that don't want to have anything to do with You. And we know that there is a time that is coming that Your justice and Your wrath will be revealed. But for the time that we have right now, Lord, help us to show this incredible power through Your love. We give it all to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.